May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So, just what kind of a preacher are you? Years ago, just a couple of months after I had started here at St. John's, I went back to South Carolina, where we had just moved from, to do a wedding. Someone was worried about me driving back to Montgomery late on a Saturday night in order to be here for Sunday morning, and they very generously offered to send a plane for me. Just rent a car, drive over there, and the plane will bring you back. That sounded a little extravagant to me, but they insisted, and I went along with the plan. After the wedding and a little time at the reception, I drove my rental car to the airport and parked at the private terminal. There was a plane sitting right there, and a man who I presumed to be the pilot was waiting for me. I was dressed in a suit with my collar on, and when I got out of the car, the man greeted me by saying, "So, you must be the preacher I'm supposed to fly to Montgomery." "Yes, sir, that's me." "Well, let's get your luggage loaded up and we'll be on our way." I opened my trunk and got out my vestment bag and my suitcase and handed those over to him. While he was putting those on the plane, I then got my golf clubs out of the trunk because, well, it was sort of expected that I would play golf with the groomsmen the day before the wedding. The pilot smiled a little when I handed him the golf clubs. And while he was loading them on the plane, I got a case of liquor out of the trunk because, well, I was still adjusting to how much more expensive liquor is in Alabama. And I had stopped in Georgia on the way over to stock up. The pilot smiled a little more. And while he was putting that on the plane, I got another case of liquor out of the trunk because, well, it really is a whole lot cheaper in Georgia. And when I handed him the second case of liquor, that's when he asked, "So just what kind of a preacher are you?" "I'm the best kind there is," I said. We had a delightful conversation all the way to Montgomery. We talked about golf a little, we talked about liquor a little, and we even talked a little about Jesus and the Episcopal Church, because the golf clubs and the two cases of liquor really got him interested. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Barnabas. I was ordained a deacon 37 years ago on this same feast day. I don't remember who preached the sermon or what he said, but I do remember Barnabas and associate him with all that is good about being ordained a deacon. If I do this right in 37 years, Lucy won't remember who gave the sermon or what he said, but she will remember Barnabas and all that is good about being ordained a deacon. Ordained folks would do well to keep the story and person of Barnabas in mind as we live out our vocations. His approach is a good guide to how to start off one's ministry. His approach is a good guide to how to finish off one's ministry. His approach is a good guide to how to keep one's ministry going year to year. Barnabas can help us figure out just what sorts of preachers we are called to be. The collect for Barnabas's feast day sums it up pretty well. "Grant, O God, that we may follow the example of your faithful servant Barnabas, who, seeking not his own renown but the well-being of your church, gave generously of his life and substance for the relief of the poor and the spread of the gospel. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Barnabas sought not his own renown, but the well-being of the church. Mary Ward sometimes reminds me that I married her before I married the church, but her words, while they are a good corrective, also help drive home the point that by virtue of our ordinations, we do marry the church. We take vows to place the church even above ourselves. We don't give ourselves up totally or who we are. It could be said that the more fully we live into ourselves and who we are then even more capable of putting the church above ourselves. Lucy, you've been getting used to this for the past 8 years at least, but from this day forward, the office you hold is more important than Lucy. Don't think about that too much as you seek not your own renown, but the well-being of the church. But as you do that, you will be a faithful servant. Just keep being faithful to the church, to its message of grace and salvation and justice for all, and to your calling to follow Jesus. Your heart is forever bound to Jesus, and you now take a vow always to seek the well-being of the church. You promise to yoke yourself to the ministry of the institution. Sometimes that will mean speaking out so that the whole world can hear you. Sometimes that will mean keeping your opinions to yourself. The collect also tells us that Barnabas gave generously of his life and substance for the relief of the poor and the spread of the gospel. The first thing we hear about Barnabas in Scripture is that he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the proceeds to the apostles for their ministry. His generosity is immediately contrasted with the lesser generosity of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who similarly sold a piece of property, but only brought the apostles a portion of the proceeds. Peter catches Ananias in his deception and says, "You have not lied to man, but to God." Ananias drops dead on the spot. 3 hours later, Ananias' wife Sapphira comes in, and Peter asks her about withholding funds. She lies too. Peter proclaims, "Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And she dropped dead. The account concludes, "And great fear came upon the whole church." I should say so. To go with his gifts and substance so generously given, Barnabas' name means the son of encouragement or the son of consolation. Don't hold back, Lucy. Give it all you've got. Pour yourself into the days and the opportunities. Take advantage of the interruptions, but don't lose sight of your plan for each day. Give freely of your substance, which, by the way, is kind and wise and insightful and loving and encouraging and compassionate. Give freely of that every day. Look out for the poor, because our economic system runs them down every single day. The church may be their only hope. Spread the gospel in ways big and small, especially small, because it's hard to keep your ego out of the big stuff. Barnabas may be most famous for bringing Paul to the apostles after his conversion on the road to Damascus. Jesus converted Paul, but Barnabas connected him to the church. In many ways, your vocation will be one of matchmaking, taking people who are having awakenings and plugging them into places where they can serve and come to an even deeper faith. In so doing, you'll help people move from the individualistic approach to salvation to the fuller communal approach. We don't save souls. Jesus does that. But we teach them the value of the other souls in the world. People, even those freshly saved, are mighty self-centered. You can bring them into the community where the Holy Spirit really gets to work. Barnabas and Paul went to the mission fields with each other. They moved around and didn't stay in any one place too long. To spread the gospel, we've got to move around some. Keep yourself open to the next opportunity. Sometimes that means picking up and going somewhere else. Sometimes that means newly interpreting the gospel for the same place you've been for a long time. Barnabas and Paul left the mission field at one point to travel to attend the Council of Jerusalem, where, with their influence being heard, it was decided that newly converted Gentiles would no longer have to be circumcised or adhere to strict Jewish laws. That was the first council of the church that started dealing with the truth that people who don't think or act just like us are children of God and need to be treated that way. Ever since, though ever too slowly, our councils have been opening the church to people who are different. It's a good reminder, too, that we need to offer ourselves to the councils of the church, even though they're usually not all that fun. Those councils and conventions need your vision, Lucy. One way you will offer your service to the institution is to help push it forward. The institution tends toward inertia and is inherently overly cautious. Don't take its progress for granted. If you don't keep pushing it forward, the whole system will slide back to 1957. Others will serve the status quo. Your job is to serve the mission of the church, and that always involves learning something new. The old message of God's love is new every day. We are called to hold that love up in front of people who really just want us to affirm their lifestyles and make them more comfortable. Comfort folks, but keep showing folks that God's love requires big changes. So, Lucy, just what kind of a preacher are you going to be? We're here to remind you that you're the very best kind. God has called you and equipped you. God will keep calling and equipping. Listen to God. Pay attention every day, and you will know what to do. God sends you out like a sheep into the midst of wolves. That sounds pretty ominous, and there will be times when it really is. The wolves you'll deal with won't be out in the world so much as they are in here. That's okay. It's even good. God loves wolves too. But you're called to be a sheep, a gentle and pure soul in a dangerous world called the church. You're not called to be a sheep by yourself in the midst of wolves. You're called to be a sheep following the shepherd in the midst of wolves. Be wise and learn about the habits of wolves. But be innocent. Keep your eyes and ears on the shepherd. Sheep are more playful than wolves, so don't take yourself or anyone else too seriously. Have some fun with all this because it really is a great joy. Laugh. Every day. Some folks, especially your peers, will tell you how hard your job is. Watch out, they're turning into wolves. And your job is to be a sheep, gentle, pure, playful, and a follower of the shepherd. Keep the wolves in your periphery, but keep your focus on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go get 'em, Lucy.